The Treasury Department is working towards publishing the first ever shared services catalog for financial management. It's due out in early 2015. It's going to list all of the services offered to federal agencies, the price range, what's in and out of scope under the Federal Financial Management and Shared Services Program. Agency managers responsible for migrating to shared services will find our next interview interesting. Adilson Jardim is the senior sales consultant for Oracle Federal. He shared with me a few examples of how shared services not only saved billions of dollars for his company, but set the stage for future growth.
The move had to happen, and operating in 127 countries, lots of different data centers, lots of regions with their own systems, back office systems, HR systems, etc., coding systems, all of those were going to be centralized and moved over to a single data center in the U.S. And as that journey evolved, a lot of things fell out, right? But most importantly, it gave us a platform that, yes, translated into $1 billion of savings. And certainly, like the shared services journey in the federal government, there have been a lot of savings there. But what it created was this platform for our future journey. And as I described at the conference, over the last 9 years, Oracle has acquired over 100 companies. And integrating a company through a merger and acquisition, integrating back office systems, mission systems, delivery systems, product lines, supply chain management, wouldn't have been possible if we still had systems, disparate systems spread across 127 countries.
Disparate systems doing the same things.
Doing the same things, but in some cases completely different flavors of those systems.
Now you have something that employees of newly acquired companies learn when they're
yes.
Seeker. They've got plenty of time to worry about integrating some of that back office function.
Yes, so that's a great reference there to a comment I'd made. So the general perspective when people think of a merger and acquisition, especially some of the companies Oracle has acquired, we've acquired big companies like Sun Microsystems, 30,000 employees at the time. So generally speaking, when we think of an acquisition, we think it's going to take time. You got to integrate all those systems I mentioned. You got to integrate email and HR policy, benefits, etc. And I used an anecdote of someone that said to me, "Well, let's talk in a few months. You know, once the acquisition goes through and we've settled in and I find my footing, then we can kind of revisit this conversation." I remember saying, "Well, actually, that's going to kind of happen immediately. As soon as we have local entity combination, you're going to be effectively in the organization. And you'll have our email, and you'll be in the systems. So it's going to happen very, very quickly. So why don't we start the conversation now?" And it's an interesting cultural change for people who've never experienced that, especially coming through the Oracle system. It happens immediately. And it could only happen because of that centralization and consolidation.
Because sometimes you hear about mergers and acquisitions in other industries, like airlines in particular, mm-hmm. where 5 years later, they still haven't gotten everything meshed up.
Yes, yes. And everything from whether it's reward points for travel, those are still gelling out. And I've got that personal experience with some of my reward points for travel where I'm not quite sure which portfolio they're in yet, right? And that fundamentally doesn't happen with the way we've done things in Oracle.
Now, in the public sector, you mentioned the case of Texas.
Yes.
A little bit closer to home for federal agencies. How did mm-hmm. that work?
So I use that as an example as we have this discourse, because using a commercial company's example, I feel immediately puts people on the defensive, right? It's not as relevant. It might be viewed with a little bit of skepticism, some cynicism about how we might have conducted that at Oracle. State of Texas embarked on a similar journey, and they've used that showcase several times. They've actually spoken about it quite openly about how they've been able to transform some of the IT delivery for the state agencies. So moving away from this idea of each state agency builds their own silo, which was effectively the case until they began their journey. And one of the examples I cited in there too was a retired teacher trying to obtain a fishing license in the state. And they would have to go to 12, maybe 13 different agencies, different departments, to both determine what licenses they needed as well as procure a license to go fishing. And I think those types of examples were motivations to change the aspect of citizen services in the state of Texas. So the state CIO had embarked on this journey of trying to understand which of those citizen services they could deliver more effectively from a centralized IT perspective. So the Texas DIR agency, Department of Information Resources, became this centralized service delivery organization Now, you notice I said service delivery, not IT delivery.
Right.
Service delivery organization, where they crafted their delivery model around what citizen services they could deliver. So they've created a portfolio. They've created a delivery model. They've got 20, 30 agencies that have signed on for different services that, that Texas DIR delivers through citizen portals now.
We're speaking with Adilson Jardine. He's a senior sales consulting manager at Oracle Federal. And so what you're saying is that the agencies do better when they take a mission-oriented or a service to the constituent,
yes,
whether it's another agency or the citizens, view rather than a back-office view of consolidation or shared services.
Yeah, I think that's a great reflection. We talk a lot about, oh, back-office is easier to centralize. And by and large, yes, maybe it is. But we're focusing on IT concepts, not necessarily citizen or constituent services. And by focusing on constituent services, you're by definition putting the mission at the forefront of what you're trying to do. And IT service consolidation probably will follow as a result of that, but it's really about the mission. It's really about the constituency.
Now, there's a lot of discussion about shared services these days in all of the forums in government, but really it goes back to a model that was demonstrated early on in the last administration of George W. Bush. They had the same idea. So here we are 8, 13, 14 years later.
Yeah.
What, you know, from the industry perspective, and you've been in this field a while now, what is holding up things?
That's probably the most important question. It's why and where is the holdup? And this conference has been an interesting showcase of the collaboration of what those obstacles might be. And I think if we reflect on some of the things we've accomplished, I think a lot of it revolves around workforce and cultural challenges to implementing real solutions and constituent-driven solutions versus the technology. I think even 14, 15 years ago, as we were able to prove at Oracle, the technology wasn't the boundary and it wasn't the obstacle. It's an enabler to get you there. But I think by and large, there's this focus on what can technology really do and why is technology not delivering, where we really should focus on what do the people need, what does the constituency need, and which cultural objects are getting in the way of that.
So can this be driven by the CIOs with the authority they have, or does it need to move up the food chain a little higher?
I think it definitely needs to move up the food chain a little bit higher if we're going to go across the federal government and really institute cross-organizational services. But I think every department has an opportunity to look within themselves, and even if it's just a departmental consolidation, from my experience, I think there are lots of opportunities to break down departmental silos even within agencies. So I think if we're talking about shared services, expand the conversation. Maybe it's just internal silos that can be broken down.
And when you talk to federal customers, do you get the sense they want to do this, but these cultural and different barriers are in place? And if those could be removed, then they would be all for it? Or are they resisting it down deep?
I think by and large, it's there are so many cultural boundaries, and in some cases, certainly political boundaries, right, and legal boundaries. I think there's a willingness to do it. There's, I think, some inertia around how to get the political will and the political capital to enable this. And as someone pointed out today earlier in this conference, no one ever really got into trouble for not changing something, right? And I think that's an attitude and a culture that does challenge this.